I think my problem and my wish and my dream for myself is that I can have enough faith to do that. You know, I see myself giving more, but I see myself wanting to give more than I do give.
Well, then give more than that yet.
I know. It's tough.
What do you think would happen if you did that? What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that bills will go unpaid. I'd get back into further debt.
What would happen if you got back into further debt? Then what would happen?
More pressure.
What would happen if you were under more pressure? What would happen then? See, what are you afraid of? What are you actually afraid of? Then what would happen? See, this is called the fear behind the fear behind the fear. Do you see? What would happen then?
I'd lose what I have.
I got it. And what would happen if you lost what you have? Then what would happen?
I'd be afraid of, you know, not having a home, not having a place to go. That would be awfully scary, for sure.
And what would happen if you were awfully scared, for sure? Then what would happen?
I guess the worst case scenario would be to die.
Thank you. All fear is ultimately a fear of death. Rule of life number 5. All fear is ultimately a fear of death. Put in the reverse, when we don't fear death, we don't fear life or anything in it. All you have to do is ask someone who has faced the fear of death and moved through that. They find that they suddenly don't fear anything in life. All fear is ultimately a fear of death. What would happen if you died?
I'd be joyous and free.
Then what's the problem? You see, if you really believe that, then there is no problem. Then all things in life become a non-problem. Then nothing in life is problematical. Evermore.
I have more work to do here.
Oh, well, then there is a problem.
Yeah.
Do you see that people who act fearlessly capture the moment and express the largest vision they ever held in life? Freely. Even the fear of not being able to complete the work that you came here to complete. I have to tell you, I've moved through a lot of fear in the past few weeks. Because I've had an innate fear of death all my life. All I ever do is talk about when I'm going to die. Ask my wife. I'm always talking about when and how I'm going to die. This seems to be an experience of great pitch and moment for me. By the way, I've been waiting to use the phrase pitch and moment in a sentence for 3 years. And Nancy's always kidding me about that, you know. But in the past year or two, she's taken to saying, well, you can't die yet because you haven't finished book 3. Well, I just finished book 3. You know why it took me 4 years to finish book 3?
Why do you think?
And now that I've finished book 3, it looks like I could die any moment, which of course is not going to happen. Not going to happen. Unless, of course, it does. Of course, that's why I have to imagine that I have to write 2 more books, you understand? You know, because I can't die without finishing my work. No wine will be taken off the vine before it's time. And yet I do know that if I were to die tomorrow, it's perfectly okay. I could hardly have had a better life, and I'm clear that I couldn't have a better death. And so essentially I do move through life, by and large, free of the kind of fear that you spoke of. So I want to give you permission to imagine that the same could be true for you. And one of the ways I know how to get there is to begin to tithe, in your case, 20%, just for a few months. Try it out. Then you can cut back to 10% if it feels better. So you can have the experience of having more than enough. Now here's what I want you all to know. If she really does this and begins to tithe 20% for the next several months, a year from today, she'll still be here. And then she will have had the direct experience that she has more than enough, not just always enough, but more than enough. And she'll wake up and go, isn't this incredible? I have more than enough, and now I'm giving 20 cents of every dollar to my favorite causes.
I agree with everything you say about tithing, and she'll still be here and, you know, probably better off than before. But the part that I don't get, or I don't know that I agree with right now, is that at the bottom of every fear is the fear of death. There's the saying, you know, fate worse than death. And I think just a fear of pain and suffering and or humiliation or other fears like that, you know, it doesn't mean someone is afraid they're going to die, but they can be legitimately afraid of some of those other things, where if they get bad enough, death could almost be welcome.
If you sit down and talk with people, as I have talked with them for the past several years, and explore with them the fear behind the fear behind the fear, as I do whenever anyone brings up something they're afraid of, ultimately it gets to something very close to death. See, all you have to do is ask a person who says they're afraid of something else, like humiliation or any of those other things you mentioned. All you have to do is ask a person, well, what would happen if you were humiliated? Then what would happen? What would happen then? See, what are you really afraid of would happen if you were humiliated? Now, give me a fear that you think is not ultimately a fear of death, or what death means, of course, is the extinction or the elimination of your sense of self. You just disappear. You're gone. You're dead. You're out of there.
Severe pain, for example, or just like maybe a terminal patient has so much pain, physical pain, that they would rather just go ahead and die than bear the physical pain.
I see. I've decided you're right. I think people could fear physical pain more than they would fear their own death. That's very good. I think that it is not true that all fear is a fear of death. But most of it is. Go ahead.
Okay. Within the last year or so, I unexpectedly received an inheritance from a great aunt. And I decided that I was going to invest it, and I was going to give parts of it away to various charitable organizations, like I have been doing in the past, but more so. You know, I could do it even with more money, and I thought this was a good idea. And all these thoughts kept percolating through my head, giving me soft, fuzzy feelings. But I found out that after I got the money, I had a real hard time doing anything with it. And even after I was able to transfer a lot of it into various investments and whatnot, I still have a real hard time dealing with it. And this surprises me. I didn't know that there was this fear of dealing with money. And I'm having trouble writing out checks for things that I believe in. Trouble just going through the basic manipulation of what you do at tax time and all that other stuff. And I'm in a real quandary about this. I'm really stuck.
Yeah, money can be paralyzing, can't it?
Yes.
Because it's the first time you've had more than you need just to get through the next couple of months. Boy, we could have a really fascinating interaction and discussion here on this, because I am a psychic. By that, we're all psychic. But I'm an operating, functioning psychic. By that I mean that I come to know things about people very, very quickly that they haven't told me. And some things they haven't even hinted at. Sometimes when I interact and work with people, I want to go to that place where my psychic self knows a whole pile of stuff. And then begin to interact in that way and reveal those things. And it's not fair to do that without your permission. So stop me if you see that I'm going to a place where I have explored something you haven't shared with me, but that I just seem to know, or maybe to be guessing about you from my psychic place.
Feel free.
I intuit that the issue is self-worth and has been since you were 3 years old. But it is my feeling, and if I were working with you in a therapeutic way, I would be very, very clear that the issue has nothing to do with paralysis around money, but has to do with paralysis around self-worth, your sense of who you really are. And that is very clearly tied into the relationship between you and your parents, and perhaps most specifically you and your father. But there is a deep issue of self-worth that drives the engine of your experience and causes you to reach this place of paralysis, which we can sometimes describe as chronic depression. From time to time in your life, as conditions and circumstances brings to the surface that underlying condition. When you reconstruct your sense of yourself and who you really are and gather all the self-worth that you deserve to have, your paralysis around the money and the chronic depression that you've suffered from time to time in your life, in other moments and under other conditions, will disappear. It'll have nothing to do with anything that you do. It will have to do with what you choose to be as you're doing whatever you do. And so for you, the solution is going to be to move in this next moment and in these moments just ahead into a place of beingness rather than doingness. You'll still do stuff. You'll still do stuff. But you won't be doing something in order to be. You'll rather be doing something because of what you're being. It seems impossible for you to go to a place where you can love yourself. That's not so difficult to understand. And that's not so different from a place that many of us have occupied now and then. And some of us for a long time. But now I want you to forget about trying to go to a place where you could love yourself. I'd like you to spend the rest of this day seeking to take another to a place where they could love themselves.
Okay.
I'd like you to be the personification of self-love. Self-love personified. And the way I would like you to attempt to be this is to give the gift of self-love, or the ability to love oneself, to everyone else whose life you touch. Here's the experiment. If there were some way for you to cause everyone whose life you touch in the next 2 hours to move to the next level of self-love, even those who are clearly operating at a very high level of self-love now, but if there were some way for you to assist them in bumping up to the next level of self-love, to look to see what that would be. That's the experiment. If you were to do that for the rest of the week, for the rest of the month, for the rest of the year, for the rest of your life, you would eventually accumulate so much self-love that every one of your other problems would fall away. And the negative outfall or the negative fallout from the other problems, including your health problems, would disappear as well. And most assuredly, your paralysis around money would evaporate overnight.